Good morning to you. Excuse me. This is the voice of Pastor Ken Harger coming your way. It's going to get better, I think, as we go along. But anyway, welcome you to our broadcast this morning. I'm over here at the Lighthouse on a Tuesday evening because I have a funeral on Wednesday morning. And so I decided I better try to get it done tonight. So I got all the windows open in the Lighthouse. So we might get some noise. There's a few wave runners on the lake and some pontoons. And we might get a little noise from them. But we'll just bear with it if you would. And I'd appreciate it so much. I'm glad to have you joining me here at the Lighthouse. It's a nice evening. It's quite warm. But there is a little breeze. And my flags are flying around a little bit. So that makes me feel a little nicer. You tuned me in by the way of WDLP. 93.1 building at 7 o'clock. And we're now streaming this broadcast live by the way of WDLP.FM. You tuned me in by the way of Ionia, WION 1430 AM or 92.7 FM or over in the Lowell area, 100.3 FM at 8 o'clock. And I welcome you to our broadcast time. Others have tuned me in by the way of Greenville, WGOM, 106.3 FM at 9 o'clock. And we're now streaming both of these broadcasts, Ionia and Greenville, by the way of the web. Others have tuned me in by the way of internet radio at earsradio.com at 10 o'clock. I welcome you. Those that's listening by way of my website is PastorKenHarger.com. And then you go to Messages from the Lighthouse. Bring your mouse up over that and it'll say Current Media. Click on Current Media and the very top message is my message for this morning. And I'm glad to be able to share with each and every one of you. As we gather together, I do need to say thank you to those that take care of the financial part of our broadcast. So I'm going to start today with Shiloh Community Church. That's where I pastored for 50 years. I appreciate their support. To Bill and Judy Hammond from the building area, to Doug and Noreen Lane from the Sheridan area, and to Gloria Spencer in memory of her husband Spence, that was his nickname, and she's from the Orleans area. I thank each of the sponsors that helped take care of the broadcast time, and that's something very special to me. And then also I need to let you know, at Shiloh Community Church, this weekend, Saturday evening, 6:30, is our service where we can gather together. Sunday morning at 9 o'clock and a contemporary service at 10:45. We have taken out rows of chairs, and so we got through plenty of space, and yet we got plenty of room, and probably 90% of them have on masks and those kind of things. And then over in the Greenville area, located at the old Calvary Baptist Church, the corner of Grove and Luray Street, that morning service, is, if the weather allows, is going to be held outdoors, and that takes place at 11 o'clock. I also want to thank K.N. Kingsinger for picking out my music for this morning. She brought me over the music for the whole month of July, and I'm working on August. So we just keep, we're plugging away, and we're trusting that we can share with you each week as we gather together. Well, my message for this morning is entitled, A Series of Messages I'm Going to Do for the Month of August on this idea of why. Why? Probably in these few months of our life, we've asked that question, why, many different times. We're all faced with the big whys of life when things don't turn out the way that we think they should. And so we realize that's a part of life. There are whys we ask God, and we're going to deal with some of them this morning. And then there's whys that God asks us. He asks us some reasons. Why do you do what you do? There are many different things that cause the whys to come into our life, and I want to build upon those whys as we talk about that in just a few moments. But to get ready to have our message, I want us to listen to a song, and this song is entitled, I Don't Know Why Jesus Loves Me. Okay, I didn't do that on purpose, but I'm think that's pretty special. Maybe she did do it on purpose. And so we can hear this song of the question to us this morning is, why did Jesus love me? We'll listen in. I'll be right back in just a few moments, okay?
just love me. I don't know why he cared. I don't know why he sacrificed his life. Oh, but I'm glad, so glad he did. Where would I be if Jesus didn't love me? Where would I be if Jesus didn't care? Where would I be if he hadn't sacrificed his life? Oh, but I'm glad, so glad he did. He left his mighty throne in glory to bring to us redemption story.
Then he died, but he rose again just for you and me.
But I'm glad, so glad he did. I don't know why Jesus loved me. I don't know why he cared. I don't know why he sacrificed his life.
Say that with me this morning. I'm so glad he did. So glad he was willing to do all that he did in order to bring about salvation for me and to bring about salvation for you. We just need to thank him for that this morning. You know, when you think about what all he did, we'd think, well, there shouldn't be any why questions in our minds and hearts. But we know that there is, and we know that that's something that we all have to deal with in our individual life. We'll talk about that in just a few moments. First of all, I need to say to each one of you, I hope you had a very happy 4th of July. Celebrated the birthday of our nation, America. We have a family together on Saturday, and we're looking forward to it, a very special time. And I trust that you are looking, you have had that in your life, a very special time with your family and friends, and that God has blessed you in a very special way. But I want to continue this morning in praying for America. Today is the 5th of July, but we realize a lot of difficulties are still ahead of us as a nation. Many, many different areas of life. We wonder, why is all this happening to us? And so we need to get to the bottom of some of it, and I believe we can, by listening to the things that God has to tell us this morning. But I want to remember the listening audience in prayer. You're the reason I'm over here Tuesday evening, sitting here by the microphone, watching other people out there playing around in the water. I got to tell you, that's no challenge to me, though. I don't want to be riding as they're riding some of those wave runners. I don't think at 85 I want to be doing that too fast. But I'm glad to be able to share with you, and we just need to have a moment of prayer. So, Father, once again we come to you, and once again I come to you on behalf of the listening audience. Everyone that has tuned us in today, I just pray, dear Father, that you would minister to the needs of their individual life. I believe we need somebody praying for us. And I count it a privilege to pray for the listening audience, that you might minister to them. Thank you. You might bless the stations that carries the broadcast. and cause it to be a help to those in the community. But Father, for the listening audience, I want to pray for their family. I want to pray for their physical needs. I want to pray this morning for their spiritual needs. I want to pray this morning for their emotional needs, the things that's going on in their life, the questions maybe that they even have of whys that they want an answer to, and they've been wanting an answer for a long time. I pray this morning, as we look at the message that you have for us, that you would speak to our hearts, that it's okay for us to ask why, but there's some things we need to keep a balance in our life about as we do. So would you be pleased to honor your word this morning? Would you be pleased to speak to each one of us in a very special way as we take a look at some stories in the Old Testament of people who had whys in their life? And maybe we can learn something from them that'll help us to understand what is going on in our life. And I'll thank you for that. In the wonderful name of Jesus and for his sake, amen. One of the things that I've always liked to share at Shiloh all the years that I was a pastor, when I take something from the Old Testament, say, you know, God tells us in the New Testament, in the book of Romans, everything that was written beforehand was written for our encouragement and for our strength, that we might learn that the Scriptures has the answers to the needs of our life. And so today, we're going to take some of these stories from the Old Testament and take and understand what God is going to do. I've always loved the Psalms. I've always told people the Psalms are an expression of our emotional feeling. It's an expression of our attitude of life. We see many, many times as we look through the Psalms, we see many cries of why, why? You know, I think we want to build a foundation for this question, why? I want to build it from God's word. Question why of our human life. In the Psalms, there's often reflect the inner feelings that are many questions from God. I came across something that one website of Laura's story, she had written this, and I really liked it, so I want to share it with you. David wrote many of the Psalms when he was brokenhearted. And in them, in the Psalms, he poured out some of his painful, intimate questions. Sometimes David got answers. Sometimes he got silence. But even when David's questions weren't answered, I believe his faith in God was stronger than his need to know. I really like that last question, that last part of that. The faith in God, David's faith in God, was stronger than his need to know why. Why? I think that's one of the first things I want in our foundation of understanding the whys in our life, is that we don't want to make it bigger than our faith. We don't want to make it more important than our faith to be asking why. I've had times, many different times in my life, when I've asked the question why, but at the same time, come to a place with something that I like from Psalm number 13, verses 1 through 6. The question is asked, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long, O Lord, will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day long? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord, my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemy says I have prevailed over him. Lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken. But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation, and I will sing to the Lord, because he has dealt bountifully with me. See, he had some questions he wanted answers to, David did. But also there was a realization that after you ask all these questions of the wise, or how long has it been, Lord, since you notice what's going on in my life, all of that kind of stuff, he says, I'm going to trust in your steadfast love. That's what it comes to, folks. You come to the place that you really don't need the answer to why when you trust in the steadfast love. And he says, my heart is going to rejoice in your salvation. He's saying, I'm even going to sing. That doesn't sound like he was singing in the first part of the psalm. Because you have dealt bountifully with me. You've been a good God to me, is what he's really saying. I love it that we don't see any answers to the whys given to David. But I believe he may have helped his faith in God by asking why. But it led him to remember that I'm going to trust in the steadfast love of God. My heart is going to rejoice, God, in your salvation, not in what I can do. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. And all of a sudden, his attitude will change. Because now the focus, instead of being on the why, the focus is on, I believe in you, and you have dealt with me bountifully. We need to balance out the question of our trust in the one when we want to ask him questions. There needs to be a balance of understanding who God is and understanding what God has done. Because pretty soon, if you got a why question in your life, you get narrow vision. Your vision is narrowed down to just why. And is it going to help if you knew why? Is it really going to help you? But if you know that you're asking a God that allows you to ask him and he lets you know that that's a part of who he is. But I like a little thought to get the balance right in my life, in your life. I like a little thought that's given to us in Romans 9:20. Listen to this now, folks, and God's not being mean. He's just asking, who do you think you are to talk back to God like that? Can the object that was made say to the maker, why did you make me like this? We must remember, God is the potter. You and I are the clay. And God can do what he wants to with the clay. One place he tells us he can take a lump of clay and he can make one vessel that brings honor to him and he can make another vessel that brings dishonor. God is saying, I think you and I need to know that we really don't have a right to talk back to God, but God can handle it. Because God's going to take it, and as we find out from this psalm, God's going to take it, and the end result is going to be, not that God had to answer your question, but the end result is going to be the realization that you focus upon who God is and remind yourself about all that he has done for you. Because sometimes when we don't have that respect for God, it is because we haven't seen how much he's done for us. This big whys of our life, we need to consider something else to add to the foundation that I believe is going to be necessary for these next weeks to come, about the question of why our human life has so many whys. Of all the people we study about in the Word of God, I believe one that went through more than anybody else that God created and had so many whys should have been in his life was a man by the name of Job. Job lived a long time ago. And yet it is said of Job in the first few verses of Job 1, there was a man named Job. He lived in Uz. He was a man of integrity. He was a man, he was a decent man. He feared God, and he stayed away from evil. He also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. Nice big family for that period of time. He was a very rich man. He owned 700 sheep and goats. He owned 300 camels. And he owned 100 oxen. He owned 500 donkeys. And also he had a large number of servants or co-workers. They measured a man's wealth in those days by the donkeys and the sheep and the goats. And this man was really a rich man. Listen to the bottom line of when it was talking about who Job was. He was one of the most influential persons in the Middle East. He was a family man. He was a leader of his family spiritually. In Job, it talked about, my sons used to go to each other's house. They're all grown up now, and they would have parties. Each brother took his turn having a party. They would send someone to invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. When they had finished having their parties, Dad, Job, would send for them in order to cleanse them from sin. He would get up early in the morning and he would sacrifice a burnt offering for each of them. Job thought, my child may have sinned or cursed God in his heart. So Job offered sacrifice for them all the time. I got to tell you, that's quite a dad. That's a very special dad. That's a dad that really cared for his children. And he's a very respected man in the community. But in a short matter of time, all of a sudden, Job lost everything. Some men came and told him about an attack that took place, and all of his livestock were massacred, and the servants that he had caring for him was massacred. Right on the heels of that, somebody came and said, there's a great fire fell from heavens and completely burned up your flocks and your servants. From 3 different companies made a raid in the camels, and all the camels were gone, and also his servants. Your sons and daughters were in eating and drinking wine in their older brother's home, and all of a sudden a great storm swept across the desert and struck the 4 corners of the house, and it failed. It fell. And all the young people, your children, Job, were killed. I gotta tell you, folks, his world just come unwound. He has every reason to say, why? Why? Why did this happen? But I want us to see in the foundation that we need to lay for the whys of your life and my life, Job's response. Job's response for that period of time was very special. It's given to us in Job chapter 1, verses 20 and 22. Job was seated as all of this information came. And I'm sure he felt overwhelmed. We've lost 2 children in our lifetime, and they were spaced apart many years. But Job lost all 10. His 7 children and his 3 daughters all died in one tremendous storm. And Job stood up, and he tore his robe in grief. That was something they did at that period of time, to show the grief, that just grab a hold of the robe and they would rip it. He shaved his head, and then he fell to the ground, and listen to what it says. It didn't say he cursed God. It didn't say he said why. It said he fell to the ground and he worshiped God. We need to realize that we need to keep God, God, in our relationship with him. And Job was doing exactly that as he fell to the ground and he worshiped. And all of a sudden his voice began to speak. And he raised his head up out of the sand. And he said, naked I came from my mother's, and naked I will return. The Lord has given, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. Did you hear that? He's lost everything, folks. He even went on to tell us that he has boils from the top of his head to the tip of his toes. He has a wife, and she comes out and said to him, "Why don't you curse God and die? That's too much for you to bear." You know, God, even though he was going through all of this, it went on to say that he did not question God. He did not charge God with foolishness. And we need to realize that we need that balance in our life of a total respect for God and all that he has given us and all that he's done for us. And Job said that this isn't all my doing. The Lord's given, the Lord has the right to take away. I don't know if I have come to Job's response. I have prayed many times, I want the heart of Job. That he's even one time he said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him." God asked Job a question to help see the idea of keeping the balance, what it should be, between what was happening and who God is. And what was happening and who was happening to. So one day in chapter 38 of the book of Job, God took Job aside and just gave him a little special lesson. Now listen to what he did. He said to Job, "Job, where were you when I created the world?" He's letting Job know. God's been around for a while. He's letting Job know. God has tremendous power. And you know, if you read that 38th chapter, I can't do that this morning, but I can give you this invitation. Read the 38th chapter of Job and see how God describes the fact of his creation. And he's asking Job, "Job, did you have anything to do with that? Job, were you a part of that?" That's for Job to keep in mind that God is God and Job is Job. And we need to have that in our minds and we need to have that in our hearts in order to keep the balance in the foundation that we need. The foundation has to be secure. And I think that's so important. Let me just give you a course in this for just a few moments, because you know, sometimes when things don't go right in our life, we just really want to blame God. That's what we want to do. We just want to blame him as though everything is his fault. A point in case tells us that it was something different than that. It tells us about a time when the nation of Israel disobeyed the Lord. They turned themselves, and God turned them over to a land of Midianites. And he did that for 7 years to discipline them for their disobedience. And Israel was really treated badly by the Midianites. And you know what? It just caused them to cry out. And in the book of Judges, chapter 7, they cried out to God. When the people of Israel cried out to the Lord on account of the Midianites, the Lord sent a prophet to the people of Israel, and he said to them, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, I led you from Egypt. I brought you out of the house of bondage. I delivered you from the hand of the Egyptians. I delivered from the hand of those who oppressed you and drove them out before you and gave you their land. I said to you, I am the Lord your God, and you shall not fear the gods of the Ammonites, or whose land you dwell in, but you have not obeyed the voice of the Lord." God's really saying, you know what? Some of the whys in your life and my life might come to us because we've been disobedient in what we know God wanted us to do. And God goes on to tell us that he wants us to know that God's not going to leave it be that way. He's created a question in the mind and heart of a man by the name of Gideon. God came to Gideon and he said, Gideon, I'm going to use you to deliver the nation of Israel out of the hands of the Midianites. I'm going to use you. And in Job chapter 6, 11 through 16, now the angel of the Lord came and sat under a tree. And while his son Gideon was beating out the wheat in the wine press, and Gideon was busy trying to beat out this wine in order to hide it from the Midianites, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him, and he said, Gideon, the Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor. And Gideon said to him, Please, sir, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? Have you ever said that? If the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all the wonderful deeds you did to our fathers, recounted to us the saying, You did not bring them up. You bring them out of Egypt? You did so many things for them? And now here we are forsaken in the land of the Midianites. And the Lord turned to him and said, Go this night of yours and save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Do not I send you? And he said to him, Please, Lord, how can I save Israel? Behold, my clan is the weakest of all the Manasseh clan, and I'm the least in my father's house. And the Lord said this to him, Gideon, I'm going to be with you. You're going to strike the army of the Midianites as though it was one man, and I'm going to use you. Gideon questioned if the Lord, why, if you're with us, why is all this happening? And you might be questioning that today. Lord, if you're with us, why is all this happening? Why do we have COVID-19? Why do we have so much unrest in our nation? Why do we have so much injustice in our nation? And God wants to say, I had to discipline you. I had to discipline the nation of Israel because they disobeyed me. But Gideon, I'm going to use you to deliver this people. May I say it again? The Lord said to Gideon, but I will be with you. And you know, that's the thing we need to learn, is even through the times we have great big questions of why God? If you're with us and for us, why am I going through what I'm going through? God's saying, you know, some of it may be your disobedience. Got a song I want us to listen to for a few moments. It says, to obey is better than to sacrifice. Sometimes we need to be reminded that we need to obey Him. We need to obey what God has told us.
Sacrifice. I don't need your money. I want your life. And I hear you say that I'm coming back soon. But you act like I'll never return. Well, you speak of grace and my love so sweet, how you thrive on milk but reject my meat. And I can't help weeping at how it will be if you keep on ignoring my word. Well, you pray to prosper and succeed, but your flesh is something I just can't feed. 'Cause if you can't come to me every day, then don't bother coming at all. I want hearts of fire, not your prayers of ice. And I'm coming quickly to give back to you according to what you have done, according to what you have done, according
God is looking for obedience. That's the key thing that God wants. He wants obedience. Obedience from your heart to His. Obedience from His life to yours. And then your life to Him. And that obedience comes not when we lower God down to our standard, but we leave God as He is, high and lifted up. And we come up to His level. And that's what God is looking for. He's looking for that in my life, and He's looking for that in your life. And it's not something we're supposed to create on our own. Let me just tell you what happened with Gideon. Remember, he's saying to the Lord, "If you're with us, why is all this happening to us?" Listen to Judges chapter 6, verses 36 through 40. Gideon said to the Lord, "You said that you would release Israel through me. I'll place some wool on the threshing floor. If there is dew on the wool while all the ground is dry, then I'll know that you will rescue Israel through me, as you said." And that is what happened. The next morning, Gideon got up early and he squeezed out the bowl of full water from the wall. Then Gideon said to God, "God, don't get angry with me, but let me ask one more thing. Let me make one more test with the wall. Let the wall be dry while the ground is covered with dew." During the night, God said, "What Gideon has asked." The wall was dry, but the ground was covered with dew. After he had received the signs, Gideon summoned together a huge army. I want you to know now, Gideon is ready to go. But he needed a sign. He needed a sign, and God gave him a sign. I remember one day the nation of Israel was asked, the Jewish religion leaders was asking Jesus, "Give us a sign. What sign will you do to show us that you have the right to do what you're doing?" And Jesus said, "I'll give you the sign of Jonah in the days of old. As he was in the whale's tummy, I will be in the heart of the earth 3 days." So what Gideon did, is he gathered all of his army together and made up of about 300 men. But he gathered a lot of men together. And then God said to Gideon, "Your army's too big." God said to Gideon, "Those that are afraid, let them go home." And many went home. Then he sent them down to get a drink of water. And he said to Gideon, "Have them all get a drink of water." And some of them put their hands into the water and brought it up, and they drank it that way. But others tipped their head right down in the water, and they drank right from the water. And God said to Gideon, "Your army will be those 300 men that didn't put their head in the water, but they brought the water up to their mouth. For they were alert and ready to go." And that's what I need, is those that are alert and ready to go. Gideon took 100 men to the edge of the camp, and at midnight he divided them into three different groups. He gave them a ram's horn, and he gave some jars they were holding in their hands. And the three different companies, when Gideon gave the word to where that army was, all of a sudden they blowed on their horns, they broke the glasses, they yelled with all kinds of noise, they shouted, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon." And with each man his position around the camp of the enemy, the Midianite people, they begin to run away and scream, and they thought there was thousands coming against them. And they all went tearing off. And God was able to provide a victory for Gideon with just a few people. Remember what God told Gideon? "I will be with you." God is with us not only with his presence, but I believe God is with us with his wisdom and his leadership. Gave Gideon the victory. And God wants you to have wisdom of his leadership. He made him downsize the army. He said, "It's too big. If I leave you, go in there with that army. You think you did this yourself. You'll brag about it. We're going to go in with just a small amount of people. But we're going to do it my way. And when we do it God's way, it's going to produce some good results." And we need to know that. As we move forward out of this COVID-19 situation we found ourselves in all this time, and some of it seems to be getting worse, and we can ask the wise, we need to know that in order to move forward, we need to have progress in our lives. But to move forward, we need to follow God's plan for our life. We need to go forward with our trust in God. There's a Bible verse in the book of Psalms that says, show me the right path, O Lord. Point out the road for me to follow. I got to tell you, folks, that's what we need more than anything else right now in this great country of America. We need to follow the Lord's guidance. We need to follow his direction in our life. I want to do one more. I think I got time for one more of the Old Testament. And all of this is just to lay a foundation. You see, Gideon was asking, "Lord, if you're with us, why are we going through all this stuff we're going through?" And God's going to say, "Gideon, you guys have been disobedient to me." He said, "I'm going to use you." But he didn't use all the hundreds of people and thousands of people that Gideon had. He just took a small group of people. One day there was a lady who lived in the Old Testament time called Naomi. Her husband died and her two sons died. And this caused a great question in her life. Can I tell you that some of the questions of life come because of our grief? Things that have happened that we didn't think would happen. And that's true in your life, many, all different ages. When I think back over my life, I can see times where there was times when I was in grief. Things that happened that I didn't think would ever happen. And you know, I've grieved through this COVID-19 thing because my heart really goes out to do funerals for people in a time of loss. And I've been with so many people when they've passed away, and so many people have died all alone. And I had in my mind and heart, nobody should die all alone. This Naomi lost her husband. Can I tell you what happened? There was a great famine. They lived in Bethlehem, and there was a great famine. And there was no food to eat in Bethlehem. So they went a distance to another country called Moab. And there they had food enough to eat. But after they was there a little while, all of a sudden her husband died. Now her two sons met some girls from Moab. One of them was Orpah and the other one was Ruth. And they married those ladies. And things were going good. They lived there about 10 years. And all of a sudden her two sons died. So Naomi was left no one, not her husband. Two sons are gone. is all she's got left is two daughter-in-laws. And they're from the Moldite people, from the country they went to. And after a while, as we often do in our lives, we want to go back home, so to speak. And so Naomi wanted to return to Bethlehem. And the daughters came to her, daughters-in-laws came to her. They said, Naomi, we want to go with you. You've been such a good mother-in-law. And they kept begging and begging. And she told them, no, you stay here. This is your country. Bethlehem isn't your country. You'll be a foreigner in Bethlehem. But Ruth wouldn't take no for an answer. I love what she said. It's about as beautiful words as you ever hear. Ruth came to Naomi. She says, don't force me to leave you. Don't make me return back. Don't make me turn back from following you. Where you go, I will go. Wherever you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Wherever you die, I will die, and I will be buried there with you. May the Lord strike me down if anything but death separates you from Mamie. Why, Goya, Naomi couldn't stand that. That was so much. She said, okay, Ruth, you get to go with me. Now there's a beautiful love story about Ruth and a man by the name of Boaz. I don't have time this morning to go into the whole love story, so I just got to tell you, Naomi met Boaz, and they fell in love, and they had a child. But before that all had happened, when Naomi came back to Bethlehem, they said, oh, this is Naomi. Her life meant sweet. So I said, this is sweet Naomi. And Naomi said, now listen. No, Naomi said, don't you call me sweet. My name is Mar, which is bitter. Now listen to this. Because the Almighty God has made me very bitter. I went away full with a husband and two sons, and I come back empty. Why do you call me Naomi when the Lord has tormented me? The Almighty has dealt evil against me. You know what I love about that story? Naomi fell in love with, Ruth fell in love with Boaz. They got married and had a child. And they brought the child and had Naomi hold it. And all the women that was of the community came and said, Naomi, you're so blessed by God. All the neighborhood women said, Naomi has a son. And Naomi had a beautiful son. But you know what? Again, to show why sometimes we go through these kinds of times was because what had happened was that Naomi came back empty and bitter at God. And God blessed Ruth and gave Ruth and Boaz a child. And they named him Obed. What a strange name they gave to him, but they named him Obed. And you know what? Obed, the Bible tells us, he became the father of Jesse. And Jesse became the father of David. And through David's lineage, the Lord Jesus came to you and to me. We need to realize God showed himself strong in a total different way. God showed himself strong in what he had done. So when we, you and I, have those why questions, we got to let God be God. He sees things that we don't see. And if you just want to dwell on that why thing this morning, instead of on the fact that God's going to work it all out, God's going to bring about some good, God's going to be able to bless in a way that you had never been able to bless. If you do that, I think you'll find out that God is God. And you all have been very blessed of him. Time for me to go. I got a song I want to listen to. And this song is telling us, here I am, Lord. I just want to trust in you. I just want to follow you, Lord. The why questions, I'm going to leave them with you.
Guide me. Sea and sky, I have heard my people cry, all who dwell in dark and sin. My hand will save. I who made the stars of night, I will make their darkness bright. Who will bear my light to them? Whom shall I send?
Turn.